and we welcome you here. But there's something powerful about what Jesus did for us. And my prayer today is that every single one of us will know the fullness of his love and what it meant that he was born to us. Every single one of us. See, I want to turn to Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2, the first 11 verses. Jesus was born in that manger. And now a year or so has gone by. And they have moved from a manger into a house. And Mary is raising her son with Joseph. And it begins, "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the far east came to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we've seen a star in the east and have come to worship him.' When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, 'In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah. See, not only was he born in the least place. Think about it. On a bale of hay, he was laid. In a barn. But he was born in a town that was considered one of the least towns of the region. It was not looked upon very fondly. Right now, we say, Bethlehem, oh, beautiful. But Bethlehem was not looked upon. Now, I live in Keensburg, but it's like saying he was born in Keensburg. Okay? It was not the great. It's not Howell, okay? Let's put it that way. For out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people. Then Herod, when he secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search carefully for the young child. And when you found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also.' When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when it had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented him gold, frankincense, and myrrh." And that's what I want to talk about right now. Here is the stage. This child, born in this dump town, the way everyone looked at it, in the worst place possible, can be born. So non-pomp and circumstance-like. In the lowliest of places. Not surrounded by parents, by grandparents, aunts and uncles, and, an army rejoicing. The king is born. But a cow, a sheep, a donkey, a hen, and poop. That's what he was surrounded by. And here, these wise men, these men who came from the east, what did they give this kid who was born in a place of nothingness? They gave him three very important gifts: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Have you ever asked yourself, why was he given gold, frankincense, and myrrh? See, our tradition of giving each other gifts comes out of this. We give each other frivolous things. Sometimes needy things, but generally it's frivolous. I'm reminded of the movie The Grinch with Jim Carrey, which my daughter's obsessed with right now. We've seen it at least 30 times in the last 2 weeks. There's the one scene where the Grinch is flipping out going, "You know what happens with every one of your gifts? They end up on my mountain in the garbage." But see, there's a reason why he was given gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They were the richest gifts of the time that someone can be given in that day. The richest things one can give, and that's reserved for a newborn king, for someone born into royalty. So I want to look at these, and I want you to hopefully see something that what God did for us. Because as the title goes, the gifts that keep on giving. Because the gifts that the wise men gave Jesus then, Jesus in return is giving us now. Gold. Gold represents royalty, kingship. They were given gold. He was given gold because he was recognized as a king. It was a precious metal. It symbolized status. It symbolized position. It symbolized authority. It recognized the place that this child were to hold. Because even in any nation, even if the child is 2 years old, he's the king in waiting. Or if she's 2 years old, she's the queen in waiting. Okay? So the people, no matter what the age is, though she may have a guardian or he may have a guardian, will still recognize them as the future king and would treat them with that reverence. It was recognized by others. Well, here, Jesus was recognized as the King of Kings. He's the Prince of Peace in Scripture, Lord of Lords. He is the one that David says, my Lord. This is who Jesus is. But that's what people said about Jesus. And that's what they gave him when they gave him this gold. But you see, Jesus has given every single one of us gold. And how do we know that? You sit with the Son of Man at the right hand of God. You are co-heirs with Christ in the heavenly places. So the same recognition these wise men saw in Jesus and in this gift that they gave him, Jesus in return is giving it to me and you. He's saying, you are so precious to me, I see the king and queen you're meant to be. I see the royalty that is on you because I am bestowing it on you. I'm taking this gold that I was given and now I'm giving it to you. I'm giving it to you, this gift that keeps on giving. Recognize who you are, just like they recognized who I was even as a child while I was pooping in my loincloth diaper and screaming at the top of my head. They were still recognized me as king. I saw you in the worst state that you were in. I see you when you are troubled, when you are confused. I see you when you're tormented. But I also see you clothed in my royal garment, if you would receive it. For I have given you a spirit of praise for heaviness. I've given you my cloak of salvation, my robe of righteousness. I have a crown ready to put jewels on that's going to be placed on your head. I recognize who you are, even though you don't see it in yourself yet. But I'm giving you this gift because it comes through me. You get it because of your bloodline. See, Jesus was born to Joseph, who's of the house of David. So he had a royalty bloodline. When we are covered by the blood of Jesus, we are saved by his blood. We are part of his bloodline. Okay? You are royalty. You are his future prince and princess. As he got older, Jesus carried himself that way because he knew where his authority came from. Lord, I release right now over everyone here the knowledge and awareness of who they are in you, whose authority they stand in, who has designated them my prince and my princess, my future king and queen. You have given us this gold in the form of the Son and your spirit. because that's who you are. That's who I am. That's what he gave us. He reciprocated that. And I'm going to challenge right now, if you ever think less of yourself than that, in the name of Jesus, say, I am a child of God. I am a co-heir with Christ in the heavenly kingdom. That not because I said it, but because Jesus said it. I didn't give myself this honor. I didn't crown myself king. The King of Kings has noted this and declared this over me. So when you start thinking that way, know your bloodline and pass it on to the next generation. Let this gift keep on giving. Second thing they gave him is frankincense. What is frankincense? It's a perfume. See, in the Bible, Jesus holds three offices. King, we already talked about. Priest and prophet. Frankincense is the incense that a priest uses. So he was given frankincense. What is frankincense used for in biblical days? You know what the purpose of it? Watch this. Relieves chronic illness, stress, anxiety, reduces pain and inflammation, and boosts immunity. Okay? This is one of the uses frankincense has. Frankincense in Hebrew, the actual Hebrew word, and this made me chuckle when I saw this, is lebne. Lebne is a Middle Eastern spread. It's basically double yogurt strained so much, it's almost pasty, and it's one of my favorite foods. Lebne also means white. See, what is the role of a priest? There's two types of priests in Scripture. One are the ones that minister to the people as they enter the temple. But then there's the priests who minister to God. A priest is a mediator, somebody that goes between God and man, who ministers to God and ministers to man in through God. And this fragrance, this frankincense that symbolizes God the priest, Jesus the priest, future priest, says you're pure. Because for you to be a priest, you're supposed to be holy, right? Be righteous. He is the high priest, the highest of all priests is Jesus. We're told of the order of Melchizedek, who was just a man so highly regarded by God in the Old Testament and is a representation of Christ in the Old Testament. But he is the priest of the highest order, the purest of pure. He is unblemished. He is holy. And a priest represents the things internally. See, the fragrance of the incense you receive through external means internally and works on your stress and all these things within you. But the priest, as I said, is holy. It's pure. It's an internal thing. Frankincense is white. So it cleanses the soul. Remember what your soul is, your mind, your will, and your emotions. So this is a reflection of his role as healing us internally. The individual from on the inside. He acted and fulfilled that role of high priest. Holy changes that take place from within. When we receive Christ, what happens? In the Holy Spirit, we are washed clean by the blood of Jesus. We are now, no matter what we looked like before, He says, you are holy because I am holy and I am in you. And if I'm in you, you're holy. And scripture also says where the Lord is, it is holy, whole ground. And if I stand in the presence of the Lord, I'm standing in holiness, and I am made pure by Him. This is His role, to lead His people, to minister to the Father. Remember what Jesus says, I only see and do what I see my Father doing. I only speak what I hear my Father doing. He is mediating and reflecting the heart of the Father. So He's fulfilling both types of priests in Scripture. He ministers to His Father, but He's also ministering through His Father, or His Father's ministering through Him to the people. So He is the perfect priest. And what are we called? We are called a royal priesthood and a holy nation. Priest is holy. So we are called a royal priesthood and a holy nation. So He has given us His role. See, in Isaiah 53:5, it says, He was wounded for our transgressions, for our sins. And He was wounded for our iniquities. Transgressions are things we did. Iniquities are the sins that the things we do carry, the impact, the spiritual impact that the things we do in the physical carry. The chastisement for our peace. So we can have peace. Remember, frankincense de-stresses you, brings you that place of rest and relaxation and peace. He was the chastisement so we can find rest. He took what needed to take. He took our stress, our anxieties, all these things, so we can have the ability to operate from a place of rest and peace. And by His stripes, we are healed. See, to be wounded, it's an external wound. It's an external thing. To be bruised, that's an internal thing. Priests works on the internal, and he heals the wound from the inside. In the name of Jesus, we are told, go preach the gospel, heal the sick, cast out demons, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead. I don't know about you, a lot of that is internal. As a priest, I minister to God as I worship God, and I'm obedient. But I allow God to minister through me. So this gift that He was given that reflects His priesthood, He's given it to me so I can carry on His legacy. I can carry on exactly what He did. That's why He said, you guys are going to do far greater things than I have done after I leave. Because you're going to carry on my tradition, my legacy. I am empowering you. I am giving it to you. This frankincense that I was given, that means this, I am right now giving it right back to you. I'm allowing you to breathe it in and receive it. I want you to carry it. I want you to have my aroma, my fragrance. Carry my fragrance so to the world and be everything you're meant to be. The enemy wants to tell you you're not. The enemy wants to tell you you can't do anything. He wants to instill doubt. Doubt leads to anxiety and stress. Anxiety and stress causes 80% of all diseases and sicknesses in this world. Mental, emotional, and physical. 80%. He was a chastisement for our peace so that we can carry His aroma, His fragrance, and stand in His peace without doubt that leads to stress and anxiety and other things, that we can stand and know who we are in Him and know what He gave us and receive this beautiful gift. If you've never received that gift right now, I want you just to open your heart up right now. Would you just put yourself in that receiving position? Whatever that looks like to you. hands open wide, hearts open wide, mind open wide. In the name of Jesus, we say thank you, Lord, for releasing the gift that you were given as a child from these wise men to us today. Thank you that we carry on your legacy of priesthood, the priesthood of the believers, that we walk in your faith, that we walk as you walk, and we can do what you have done because you told us you want us to do it, and we will do it in your name, Jesus. This gift of frankincense and what it means that you were given, you are giving us right now. So I just release that in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, to every single one of you. So we've had the king, we've had the priest, and now the prophet. Myrrh. What is myrrh? Myrrh is an anointing oil. It's an oil for anointing. Who would anoint future kings? Prophets. Prophets anointed kings. Prophet Samuel anointed Saul. Then he anointed David, and so forth. Prophets anointed kings. So when he was given the myrrh, this myrrh reflects his prophetic office. What is the role of a prophet? It's to foretell the things of God, right? To encourage the people ultimately to turn to Jesus. If the priest's role is to heal the soul, the prophet's role is to heal the nation. Think about that. If the priest's role is to heal the individual on the inside, the prophet's role is to speak the things of God so the nation will turn to God to heal the nation. He holds the office of prophet. Myrrh was used and is used for ulcers, colds, cough, asthma, lung congestion, arthritis pain, cancer, leprosy, spasms, and STDs, and a few other things, swellings, inflamed gums, loose teeth, canker sores, bad breath, chapped lips. Most of that is things that are on the outside, that break through on the outside. Priest heals the soul, but the myrrh takes care of the things that come out on the outside. Let me tell you, stand next to somebody with bad breath talking to you. You want them to have some myrrh. Okay? And they're meant to heal the land. What are we called to do? Go and make converts of every nation? No. Go and make disciples of every nation. Go and share my love. Go and just simply pray for somebody. Show them I love them. Go and smile and bring joy to somebody's heart who's struggling right now. I'm asking you to go and show them who I am. The prophet's role is to reveal the heart of God to the nation. Well, Mike, go and reveal my heart to the person sitting next to you. Mike, go and reveal my heart to the person you see in the lunch line or in the cashier. Not just on Christmas, but reveal my heart to the nation. Let them know who I am. See, and another thing that myrrh is used for, to embalm the dead. Jesus received that myrrh as part of his embalming process. But he rose again, didn't he? When we are saved, when we receive his blood, we die to the old man, as Scripture says, and we rise up a new creation in Christ. Receive that myrrh to die to the things, way things used to be. And rise up in me right here today. Rise up a new person, a new child, a new daughter, a new son. Rise up a new person, a new man, a new woman. Rise up a new warrior for the kingdom of God. Rise up as an atmosphere changer. Quit being a person who sits in a corner, shy. And be born again as a mighty weapon for the kingdom of God, full of love and power and authority that I gave you that you stand in. Die to the old and rise as into the beautiful new that I have for you. These are the gifts that was given to Christ, that he's given us today. He's reciprocating. And the beautiful thing about these gifts is they don't get stale. They don't get old. They don't tarnish. Their fragrances never die. They continue in the hearts and lives of those he gave them to. Through his birth, through his life, through his sacrifice, through his blood, through his resurrection, and through his glorification. Basically, he was born, he lived the life that God had for him, that would bring us closer to God. He showed us how to live. Then he died for our sins, so everything we've ever done can be wiped away and we can start over new with God. And then he rose again and gave us his spirit to be able to do everything he did. And this is why we worship him. This is why we believe that sometimes when we worship and we're in his presence, healing takes place. Miraculous healing. Peace, when you're going, I should be freaking out right now, can happen. Faith, when I should be wondering what's going to happen next, I know my God never leaves or forsakes me. I know he sticks so close to me and he loves me so much that he's not going to let me go. He just won't. Because he loves me. I want you to know today, Jesus loves you. He didn't take those gifts and say, I'm keeping them all to myself. I'm going to store them in my closet. Just like the bread and the fish that he took, blessed and released and fed thousands, it was multiplied. He took those gifts, blessed them, and multiplied them to every single one of us who says, Jesus, I accept you. I see you as my King, the King of the Kings. I see you as the High Priest of all, and I see you as the most beautiful prophet of God, of our Father. I see you as my salvation and my hope, and I accept you in my heart as my Savior, and I receive your breath in me, your spirit in me, to carry on the bloodline legacy that you've given me. This is what he's given us. Father, I just right now want to just release over every single one in this room the power that is in your prophetic, the power to hear you, the ability to hear you, to see you, to be so in tune with you, and release into the land, into our environment, what you are doing and what you are saying. That your heart be manifest in our hearts today. And it's reflected to heal our land, whether that land is our homes or our community or anywhere else we may be. In Jesus' name, we receive that. In Jesus' name. Jesus, would you stand with me, but stay in that receiving position, in that worshipful position. And if the worship team can come on back up.